I'm here with Father Karel Piet van Eden. He's in South Africa. I'm in Maui. And we're going to talk about a subject very near and dear to our hearts, which is the attitude of gratitude and the Reiki principles and how effective they are. If you really understand and really use them. And I think we'll probably bring in this subject as well, Father, about the if, because we were just talking before we started recording about how people want the quick, easy way to do anything, including, well, yes, being healed, right?
Most definitely. So yeah, it's an exciting night. Thank you for having me again. It's always such a pleasure to spend time with you.
You too. And I had not realized till this last week, and I saw one of your posts that you were doing a Reiki attunement one. Of course, you know, I'm a Reiki master. God, was that 25 years ago I did that. And that was, I think, about 25 years ago in America here. That's when it was like the big craze, you know. Everyone wanted to take Reiki because a lot of people like the idea of being a healer, and a lot of people like the idea of making the money rather quickly. And you were seeing people here on the islands doing Reiki weekend after weekend. There was someone doing a Reiki one, Reiki two. Some people do Reiki one on Saturday, Reiki two on Sunday, and the following week do the Reiki master.
and then be depressed for 2 years because they couldn't handle all that energy.
Well, I hadn't even thought of that, but it's interesting. I mean, the idea of course, is I've always believed before Reiki became the big rage. I mean, I always knew there was power in healing, and I was able to use healing techniques very, very effectively, but there wasn't a name for it. So people were, you know, like, well, what are you doing? You know, or, you know, laying hands on? No, I didn't want to call it laying hands on, or, you know, but just doing healing. And people couldn't accept just I'm doing healing, but they could accept I'm doing Reiki, right?
Yes. It has a name suddenly. And I've read about it in the paper, and that makes things a lot more accessible to people and acceptable.
How did you discover Reiki?
Through martial arts, actually. I started doing Aikido after school, and we do a lot of stretching, and I did a course in Shiatsu, and at a seminar, I met my Reiki master. She just looked at me and said, you have to do Reiki. Come do the course, see if it works for you, do level one. If you don't like it, leave it. If you like it, carry on. And I could not stop after doing one, two, and we have here advanced and masters. And I went further.
Was advanced and, three and then masters four? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. So what we did is there are people who don't want to be teachers, but they still want to be a master practitioner, basically. So the advanced course for us is you get your one master symbol. Yeah, and then I went on to do Karuna.
Are you doing the Asui method, Dr. Asui?
Yes.
Well, for those who aren't, and I think everyone is already aware of it, I mean, but we'll just go over the very interesting story and the fact that Dr. Asui was indeed a student. He was according to all the records, taking classes on, and I don't know, was it Catholic? He was in a priesthood, I think, of some kind, wasn't he?
Yes. So the story is that he was a Christian monk, and not a junior monk either. He had disciples or students under him who then asked him, how can we do hands-on healing? If the disciples of Jesus were able to do it, why cannot we do it today?
And so that was the start of a rather long search that he followed the path on.
Yes.
And, you know, to the point where he reached enlightenment, basically, and saw the symbols. And to me, you know, I just call it he was illumined. All the descriptions of what he went through when he went to that point on the mountaintop and saw the symbols are all exactly what you experience when you experience enlightenment.
Definitely. The Japanese have such a beautiful word for it. They call it spiritual enlightenment. In Japanese is Satori.
Yes, I love Satori. Absolutely love Satori. And of course, you know, then he comes down and he immediately starts to put into practice what he found, not even necessarily, I think, maybe aware that that was it, with the story of the woman that had a child with a very bad tooth. And then he feels that to how it followed on. But what we're going to fast forward to, of course, is that he found that one thing, it's one thing to heal a person. And that it's another thing for the people to stay healed and to really understand what the gift was of healing, because he saw some people who were healed reverting back to ways that caused them to be sick in the beginning. Is that correct in your interpretation?
Yes, that's exactly the same interpretation that we have. And it is such a true thing. There's so many things, and we said we might get very much sidetracked if we go down all those paths. But the one big thing that I just need to mention here is that we cannot be external healers. People jump up and they call themselves and they label themselves healer. I don't believe in that term. I believe that you are a conduit of healing, yes, but you're not doing the healing from your own heart or from your own energy. You will deplete yourself so fast if you use your own energy to do healing. So that's just the one thing. And it became manifest in the work of Dr. Usui that he would help people, and yet they would come back time and time again with the same afflictions. And that's why he then started teaching them how to help themselves. And I think that is such an important thing in Reiki, in any type of healing modality, that you're not doing anything. Even as a medical practitioner, you're not doing anything. You are allowing the body to heal itself.
Well, I'm glad you brought up this point, because this has been one of the things that I get concerned about when people immediately start jumping into Reiki and healing people, and not realizing that unless you are able to be a clear conduit for that energy to come through, you actually can even be transferring some of the stuff and issues that you have in your own energy field to the person. And that's where you have to be open and be able to reach that. And I think that meditation is very, very key in this, because then when you go into deep meditation, you do find how to connect with that inner self and the higher self and that part that does heal. And I really think that I have found that the people who are already meditating, and many of the people who do Reiki have who hasn't meditated these days, right? But when you can do that, that it's much easier, indeed much easier, to allow that healing to come through you. But the energy conveyed as well, depending on how good a teacher and how clear a channel the person giving Reiki is, can also bring about a change in transformation in that person's awareness. Because truthfully, when I'm doing Reiki, and it's been a while since I've done it, but when I'm doing Reiki, that energy, anyone is with me, is basically going into a deep state of meditation, just because I'm in a deep state of meditation and connected, and they're laying down, they're relaxed, and they are, as soon as they're able to receive that energy, they are also and a very deep, deep state of meditation, and they're feeling a transformation. But from that, it's like to put that into practice. And you know, my book, Spiritual Tools for a Better Life, I did this book, and it was based on Insight Timer talks. And I did one on the attitude of gratitude, a talk on that, which is one of the precepts, rather smart of Dr. Sui to keep them simple, right? Not even 10 commandments. Five precepts, right? Easy. Although people, after a while, do forget some. But I think the attitude of gratitude is a very important one. I'll let you just mention all five, and then we'll go more into the attitude of gratitude.
Okay, awesome. And did you know that he didn't come up with them?
No, I didn't know that. You're kidding.
That was one of the Chinese emperors who wrote them, and Dr. Usui adapted them for Reiki.
I had never heard that before.
Oh,
where did you find that? Because I've read many books and I never heard that before.
It's been many years that I read it. I'll find the information for you.
I learned something new today. I thought he wrote those all of those.
Yeah. And I think that teaches us that, you know, you're never too holy or too filled with Satori to learn and to take other things and to implement them into what you're currently doing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, back to the five principles, as we call them, just for today. And everyone starts with just for today because we can't handle anything else. Just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Just for today, earn your living honestly. Just for today, show respect to your elders and teachers. And just for today, respect every living thing or being. And those are the five principles.
Those are all so very, very powerful and beautiful. And again, if you follow those, it seems so simple to say them, but to follow them, you will find in life every single one will be sometimes come up and be challenging, just like I found in my life with all the different things that I've had to go through lately, you know, that I've had to use all of these principles and not just say them or think them, but to really activate and use them under the most trying. It's like I'm being road tested by the heaviest path of road testing, you know, with all these. It's like, okay, you got the principles, you got the tools, let's see how well they work in life when you're thrown this or that or this or that. And it's like, wow, okay.
True.
I mean, and I never doubt the tools. It's just like I realize the skill and the way you remember and the dedication to the way you follow them with faith and trust is really, really makes a huge difference. But
does.
We're going to delve into the attitude of gratitude. And I have to say that this has become a very, very popular one over the last 10 years, especially. You'll see many apps on this. You know, I have an app that tells you at 8 o'clock in the morning, it rings a bell and says five things you're grateful for.
Wow.
And at night,
okay,
five things you're grateful for.
Beautiful. You know, I think since The Secret came out, it exploded all across the globe. And it is so simple that people don't believe in it. Yet, if you apply it, there are changes.
But...
but I was waiting for the but.
There's all these people who misused it immediately. And
yes.
and we were talking about people who market things, you know, and I still see to this day, just got yesterday, just like in The Secret, here's the one key that you will use that will change your life and sign up here and, you know, and pay this fee and whatever. Or if it's free, usually it's free and then you do it. But the problem is people, there was a wonderful book that Alice Bailey did called Treatise on White Magic, written in, I think, 1930 something. It was Joao Cool writing through her. And this was Dr. Masters always had these books, and I had books, all the books I got when I was starting 15, 16, I started reading all these books. And way before The Secret, right? But the idea was, yes, if you're going to manifest, basically the term white magic wouldn't be popular now, but basically if you're going to create and if you're going to use the tools that are able to create, you have to know certain basic things and you have to be a white magician to a degree. You have to practice harmlessness. You have to know cause and effect. I mean, you have to know from the highest level these things. And indeed, people, I'll never forget this time, someone came to Maui a few years back and they had read The Secret and they rented a suite in one of the most expensive hotels and they stayed there and they didn't have any money at all, but they said they knew that they could manifest it while they were here, you know, and they didn't manifest it, you know, and they ended up having to go to jail because they had like $7,000 or $8,000 in bills and they had no money in their bank or credit cards left, you know. But to me, it was such an example of people going, well, we have faith and if we go and we follow these principles, we'll manifest what we need to create it. And it's like, no, it didn't work. But back to the attitude of gratitude. That's a simple one and it works. And we all know what gratitude is, right?
Yes. Well, do we?
Do we? Do we?
Do we?
Do we? I think we do, but we do when it's convenient, when things are good for us. When things are going our way, it's easy to be grateful. When we're happy and we've got what we want, you know, just like if you get your Christmas gift and it's what you wanted, thank you. I got what I wanted. But when things are not going your way and you're not getting what you wanted, that's when this is an important level to practice, the most important time to practice it, right?
It is. And I think the application is sometimes lost on many people. It is sometimes the attitude won't necessarily get you out of your circumstances. Maybe there are lessons that you still need to learn. But what it will do is it will change the way that you perceive your circumstances. And
so true.
Once that starts happening, then the circumstances change. So it's not this magic wand that you could swing and say, you know, now suddenly I can pay my hotel bill. But it does make very, very subtle changes. And that then lifts us out of where we are at that moment. And I think that's really something that people miss. They try and manifest things immediately. And it is possible. For many a magician, you can manifest if you know how. But that's not necessarily what we're talking about when we do address the attitude of gratitude. It's a component thereof.
Well, and I think that having experienced especially some major events from life-threatening illness and changes in my situation of living, you know, which has been a very nice situation, changes with work and dreams that I've had that I created that I really was very happy with. And I'm like all this and more coming up at one time. I'm realizing, okay, you go back to the basics with the attitude of gratitude. I may not be grateful for having to move because I hate moving. I'm sorry, even if I'm grateful for it, I still hate moving. I know if I get past the hate, maybe I won't have to move again, but I really hate moving. And of course there's things I have to face in that hating of moving. And it's like, oh my gosh, my stuff, you know, lots of baggage to get rid of when you move. But if I go down the basics, like, okay, what am I grateful for really? It's like, okay. I mean, my gosh, I'm living on Maui. You know, I have a lot of, I have an amazing job, you know, that I work very hard at, but it's amazing. I have some amazing friends, including you, in my life. I have some very supportive people. I mean, I have people who are there, you know, will, you know, hold my hand when I need my hand held, which is quite a blessing. And I have this connection to God and prayer, which is an amazing gift that I have been able to have. So, I mean, some people may have not all that, you know, some people may just have that meditation time or that connection to God. Or they may have a family member or a friend they have, but you know, there is always something. Even in the worst circumstances, there's something to be grateful for. You see sometimes these news stories where people have lost their everything, their house, everything they've owned, except their maybe a couple of pictures. And they say, well, you know, I guess I'm just grateful to be alive, you know? So, you know, it can come down to just that as your step of being grateful, right?
Isn't that one of the most important things to constantly be grateful? Is to be on this planet and still be here to learn and to experience and to be.
Well, you've had challenging situations lately too that some people could easily get stuck on. You know, if you didn't know how to practice the principles that you're living by. It could stop you in your track, and you could get sidetracked by things you feel that happened, which really didn't seem fair at all. Yeah. But you know, you look at these things and okay, you look at them in a different perspective when you're looking at them from a higher perspective, don't you?
Definitely. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to learn that lesson. You can see exactly where you have to be. Uh-huh. And you can see exactly what the plan is. But you don't want to. You want to throw that temper tantrum, and sometimes maybe it's necessary, and get it out of your system, but then move back into the area of what am I grateful for? I am grateful for the upheaval even in my life sometimes, because it's moving me into new places. The challenges that we spoke about, I've started opening up so many new avenues. I've rediscovered Reiki. Reiki is such a thing to, you forget about it, because it becomes such a part of your life that you don't notice it anymore. And it's like taking medicine sometimes. You don't notice the good that it does for you. And then you stop taking it. And then one day you get a clap or a clap and you need to start taking it again. And that is where life then takes you. So you get reminded, and Reiki has brought me back to the idea of just be grateful for today. Be grateful for the fact that you can eat. There's so many people who are going hungry, so stop complaining. I think I'm getting very hard with people these days, and very harsh when they complain and they moan. And
oh, the other side of Father Carell, your other side's coming out. You're being hard with people. Oh no.
And people not allowing others the space to thrive because of their own hurt, and it that's the message that everything comes back to, and we spoke about it earlier, is that people are hurting. And in that hurt, they forget that there are good things in life. They forget to connect to gratitude. And when that happens, and we then forget on a global scale, we start hitting out and we start taking it out on each other. And I think that that's a big thing where we are as a community, as a people at the moment, is that we've forgotten about all the beauty that there is, and everything that every single person, like you said, has something that they can be grateful for.
Well, and I have to always go back to the gratitude for Mother Nature. I didn't even mention, you know, I've got to get out in nature every day. I've got to take a walk. I mean, I should be grateful I can even walk. Because there's people who can't, you know. I mean, my significant other who had that heart attack is finding how difficult it is just to take steps now. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me realize, my gosh, you just take that for granted that you can even walk, you know, without fighting and struggling just to take steps, you know. But when you can walk and you can be in nature, and you can even just sit in nature, I mean, that is such an expression of beauty that it can help anyone in the world. Even in any third world country or hard situation, well, maybe not if they're in prison. I just thought of that. If you're in prison, you probably have a hard time watching a sunset or sunrise. You might have a hard time, right? That's so then you'd have to imagine and that's so, you know, be grateful you're not in prison, because there are prisoners who have done nothing wrong, but they're still in prison in some places, you know. I mean, should I talk about people in Arabia that have driven, women who have driven cars that are imprisoned? Or maybe if we go to Russia and talk about you know, people in prison for speaking their mind, you know, and they can't see the sunrise, you know, but still stand up for their principles. But to be able to be grateful, my gosh, if you aren't in that situation, another reason just to be even more grateful to be able to enjoy the sunrise or the sound of birds singing, you know. And what, there's something really that is magical. As soon as you embrace gratitude, and it's gone as far as people having studies and doing studies saying that it actually changes your physiological makeup. It actually helps you to feel better. And they've proven this when you do make a habit of expressing gratitude and feeling that gratitude. And not just saying I'm grateful for and go down the list you've memorized, but to really feel grateful for having those gifts, right?
Yes. So a lot of thoughts coming up at the moment, but one of them is that, Oprah at some stage also punted gratitude very much. And she said to write down 5 things every night that you are grateful for. I took it a slight step differently than what she said. And for a year, I posted a photo of something that I'm grateful for every day. And you reset your subconscious because other people are now looking at you. So you have to post something.
I like that.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a mind hack. And what you then do is you start looking out for what can I be grateful for? What can I share that I am grateful for? And we know what we look for, we see. And we see more and more of it.
Yeah. I mean, after another difficult week, I went outside this morning and I've been seeing this. I had a gardenia bush I love. And I have to say, I was very bad about pulling weeds. I'm just not good. I'm not a good weed puller. And the plants struggled. Last year I had, on Facebook, I posted so many beautiful pictures of my gardenia bush. This year, it had kind of struggled. And this morning I went out and I'd had some weed pulls. I have to say the guy that does the yard actually was kind enough to pull some of the weeds out because I really wasn't strong enough. I'd gotten so many weeds, I couldn't even pull them out. And today there was a gardenia blossom, which I really thought this plant had given up the ghost at one point because it was struggling. And this morning, the most beautiful gardenia that smelled so heavenly was there. And it's amazing just smelling that gardenia. I took a picture of it. I will post it. But it's like, wow, that is really something that touched me that I'm grateful for. And it's priceless and it didn't cost me really anything except watering it every day and giving it a little love when I watered it and then having the help of someone who helped pull the weeds. And then there's that amazing blossom that can happen, and that's just a symbol, of course, it's just a symbol when you take that picture of something you're grateful for. It's a symbol of something in ourselves that are recognizing something beautiful, something that's happening there that we need to focus on to help improve our attitude. Because again, the other part of gratitude that it's written with is the attitude of gratitude. Because when we have gratitude, the attitude can change. The attitude we have of being down and being hurt and being discouraged can change because the attitude is really key to everything as well.
Most definitely. And also knowing that it might not necessarily change within an instant.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
If you are going through major heartache, if you are going through somebody who a family member or a friend or a loved one who has passed, you can't suddenly decide, I'm grateful for something and choose something and then feel better. But the attitude is that this too shall pass. And once you start focusing on the gratitude itself, then the strife and the struggles pass faster and it's more tolerable.
It's interesting being very close to that situation because, as my significant other was dead for 15 minutes and there was really a very intense week where it didn't look like that it was going to work where he would continue to survive. But during that time, you and I had many a deep conversation and I did find just thinking about that I was all of a sudden a lot more grateful for the things that we had together that I had taken for granted. Because we do take people who are close to us for granted. I think everyone does more than they realize. And it's not until you're at that point where you think, wow, that's over now, that you begin to appreciate the things that you did have. So again, there comes that gratefulness for what you have that you can, if you have someone pass on, being grateful for what you have had, and also being open enough to try to receive that energy of those gifts, which kind of live on in spirit. It also brings up truthfully that we may have counted for on that other person in our life for certain things that we didn't want to deal with ourselves.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, wow, I had that person doing all of this for me. And now I have to be aware that I don't have a crutch or something, someone else to do that stuff. And I've got to do that myself. Yeah, and I think in a lot of relationships that happen. That happens where you count on a certain person to fulfill their part of the bargain of being there.
And is that not human? And part of why we go into relationships. And I think it's a very normal thing to do, yet that awareness, the attitude of, I see what you do, is such an important thing. And a thought just came up, and I don't think many people would like me for this, but what if you were to write your loved one's eulogy today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's actually very valuable. What if you were to write your own eulogy today?
Yes. No, true that. So that and that one for me points to what do I want to be? What do I want to be remembered as? And when we write the eulogy of the loved one, we become aware of what they really do for us. Well, sometimes we can become aware of the fact that maybe we need to rethink our relationship with this person.
I think relationships can be improved greatly. By being grateful for what that other person is, really is to us, and what's behind that. And we'll find that also many times there's a karmic relationship involved in any kind of long-term relationship. I don't go for soulmate so much as some people do, you know, or you don't even go twin flame so much. Although I definitely believe that certain people reappear in our lives multiple times, you know, through multiple times. I think many family members or very, very close friends or loved ones do have some kind of karmic relationship and show up in interesting ways, you know, in our life for sure, because we do have certain kind of, I think we call them an ohana, friends, family here in Hawaii, you know, but I'm sure you have the same thing. Do you have a term in South Africa for those that are very kind of part of your circle?
I would, it's not specific to South Africa, but I refer to soul group or soul family.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in twin flames, but not necessarily in the romantic sense that people see and this person completes you. I don't believe that any single person is there to complete, because we're not half, we're not broken. You are perfect in your own right, but you do have souls and people, like you said, who will come, and you can have many different experiences with the same people over and over. Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes good and sometimes not good, you know, and it's always interesting. Well, you know, I'm using the term good and not good, but the not good ones might be really good, because they're the harder lessons to learn and things we need to learn even more to do, you know, and that's where forgiveness and understanding and gratefulness comes in. Mm-hmm. Because gratefulness for the people who give us our hard lessons and create problems for us is like, well, that's a really deep practice, right? I mean, that was when Ram Dass used to say, take a picture of the person running for president here who you're against it politically, put them on your altar and learn to love them. And also take a picture of yourself and put yourself on the altar and allow yourself to love yourself as well, you know. And that's one of the deepest practices, you know, and be grateful for those ones that push our buttons as well, because they're allowing us to see what buttons we have that we need to fix to not get pushed, right?
Yes, definitely. And that we can refer back to Dr. Usui, who said, just for today, respect your elders and teachers. And they're not the people standing in front of you in the classroom necessarily, They are the people who sometimes teach you how not to be and who give you drive. I don't know if I ever told you the story. I'm a high school dropout. And I did my final year of my matric year as homeschooling. And the headmaster told stories that I will never amount to anything because I dropped out of school. And it's a big thing here in South Africa. He was my driver to get a PhD. So I am eternally grateful for him to give me the anger to try and prove him wrong. Because how many people have I been able to help through his words that were insensitive in my mind? So it is such a beautiful thing to learn from people that we don't resonate with.
Yes, absolutely. And the hardest. And again, that forgiveness comes in that as well. And the deepest and the deeper the hurt, the more forgiveness, of course, is necessary. You know, I found this with, well, we could get into another whole show about abuse and what
True,
happens with abuse and people being bullied and people. You know,
true.
it's a whole issue, you know, of course, with that and how
Yeah,
you can.
but if you were to now apply the attitude of gratitude to that person, for example, there's nothing to forgive. If they taught you something, what is there ever to forgive? South Africa is known for crime, so we sometimes share our crime stories. I was on my way to a friend's house a couple of years ago, and I said to him over the phone, "I want a new car. I can't afford one. I wish somebody would steal my car." And he said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. I wish somebody would steal my car as well." 20 minutes later, we were tied up in his house in an armed robbery, and they took both our cars.
Oh my gosh.
But when I phoned my mother, my first words were, "Guess who's getting a new car? I asked for it. How could I ever be upset with the robbers for answering that energetic call?"
Wow.
It took a while to get there.
An amazing story. It
My
work?
history.
Did you get a new car?
Well, my insurance paid out.
Okay.
So exactly what I asked for happened.
Yeah. Oh
So
my.
then the question is raised, the robbers, were they wrong? Because they taught me a lesson that I physically asked for. And there is an extreme way of how one can then apply the attitude of gratitude.
No, it's it and it does show, see, if we take where all of that comes from. We go back to the higher spirit of oneness and that we're all from the one creation, the one source, God. And of course, you are Dr. Sui. I'm Dr. Sui. You are the embodiment of the Christ light and consciousness. I am too. We are an embodiment of God and a part of it. So as we play out our different roles, you know, they are just roles we are playing out in a very unbelievably complex drama that the creation dream has allowed us to play out. And I do believe we see this when we get to enlightenment or when we close to passing on, that we recognize this when we get to that higher perspective. But it's very, very difficult to, if in a regular reality conscious mind, to remember some of that things, you know. And that's why you know, it's great that you can teach the Reiki and that you're, you know, back to it again. I haven't done it in, I don't know, 25 years. I mean, I don't even know if I remember the symbols. I mean, kind of remember the spiral one and the one. But you know what? For me, I mean, I know that it works for me anyway because I was doing healing before I knew about the Reiki and the symbols, you know, because again, it's what you're bringing through and it's
Yes,
not you, as you said, to bring it full circle again. It's what you're allowing healing energy to come through you know. And I think it just helps people to believe it if they have a symbol to put on their head and their hat with a title and allows them to believe it just like the Wizard of Oz, because you know, if the Wizard of Oz says you here's this, you can do this because you've got your certificate now. You know, some people don't like that because they work very hard for the certificate and pay a lot of money for it. But that's okay. It just means you believe in your certificate more.
True. And isn't that exactly why Mrs. Takata, when she went to America, charged $10,000 to become a Reiki master?
I met her, and I had their daughter, Phyllis.
Phyllis. Mrs. Furumoto.
Hear about this. You know, she was very, very wanting to stick to the high price, but I have to say I had a disagreement about it, because I said, well, if you're following the principles of Christ, Christ didn't charge $10,000 for his healing work, you know? And I said, I understand the principles behind it, but if you really go back to the beginning roots, it wasn't about the money being charged, you know? I mean, definitely the principles, 100% I agree on that, you know? But unfortunately, sometimes in our society, people don't appreciate something unless they do pay a lot for it. And, you know, it's like, wow, that's a tough one for me, because I don't think it's a matter of having to pay a lot of money to appreciate being a very good teacher, or being a grandmaster or anything such as that, because I believe in the principles of Jesus Christ and Christ and the healing and God being the healer. So, but that's just me.
I agree completely. I mean, I charge $100 for the whole course.
Wow, that's amazing. That's very cool.
Because the people need it at the moment. We need to get it out there.
Yes.
And Africa has a very different energy. It's a hungry energy, and it's a completely different feel here. And we bring that into our healing as well. So we don't want to overcharge or even think about money. It's important that we get it to as many people as possible.
I agree. Well, people can find you online, and they can find me online. And now you are an Insight Timer as well.
Yes. Yay. Finally.
Yes, I'm so glad. And you are doing your healing work on many levels, of course, Reiki just being one of them, but you do some very deep healing work in your profession as well with the Golding Institute. So, I appreciate the work you do. I really do. I mean, it's always wonderful talking to you. We have such great conversations. I'm very grateful for you being in my life and being such a wonderful counselor and friend and a great teacher. And, We say mahalo, mahalo nui loa in Hawaiian. Thank you very much for you being who you are and doing your great work that you do. And until our next conversation, go with God, and God bless you always.
God bless you too. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you. Aloha.